we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Making common sense like a superpower up in here. I got a bunch of texts going already. Let's see what we got. A few of these. By the way, one's from yesterday. This is a great text. Marie from Madison. She texted in, said, sorry I didn't get this to you earlier. I was driving home from work on the Arsenal. Don't text and drive. Thank you, Marie. Thank you. But she said this, because we were talking about a book yesterday by Andy Andrews, which if you go to rightsideradio.org, there is a recommended reading list tab. Some of the books that I find to be the most impactful or meaningful, I recommend them. They're on there. One of them is a book by Andy Andrews called How to Kill 11 Million People. And she says, I thought you would throw it out there. So I knew you mentioned, I know you mentioned a wonderful book by Andy Andrews at the beginning of your show. It's a must read, she said, for every American. I was wondering, have you ever talked about the story of the German Christians who were singing hymns while the Jews were being hauled away? It's called Sing a Little Louder. And I've heard some people ask the question, how loud are you singing? It's supposedly inspired by the true story of an elderly man who in his youth witnessed the horrors of the Jewish Holocaust from the pews of his church. Wow. So I do not know about that book, but I'm going to find it now. So that sounds amazing. Marie from Madison, thank you so much. John from Huntsville. Phil, nice monologue. Got to be honest, I can't stand Jim Carrey. I'm the same way. I can't hardly watch a Jim Carrey movie. But that one, The Truman Show, was actually, he did a really good job.
I love his movies.
You do? You really?
I love all his
movies. I can't. It's like at some point, I feel like I'm losing brain cells by watching his stuff.
He's a little goofy, but.
Plus, he's also, sometimes he's so goofy, he's scary.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Oh, boy's really got something wrong to be able to be that wrong on
Dumb
the screen.
Dumb and Dumber, though, that's a classic.
So you're saying there's a chance?
That's a class. You can't not like that movie.
Anyway, he says, he says, I personally would not rank that as one of my favorite monologues because of the Jim Carrey reference. So, but listen, bro, it's just a different Jim Carrey. Anyway, he said, however, you're still my favorite radio host of all time. Thank you, John. I also want to say that Australia is my second favorite country in the entire world. So if you somehow actually make it to that third dipper, try not to be so hard on my second favorite country. We'll see what I can do, brother, but it's distressing. How about that? Distressing. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, like I've said to you so many times, the Constitution is only followed if the government chooses to do so. So it's not a guarantee. It's a suggestion because I don't know how you can forcibly make the government follow the Constitution. That's what the lawyers are for, dude. You know that. Yes, I will agree. The government will do what it can to get away with whatever it can, whenever it can, to whomever it can. And at the same time, you got to make sure that you know that if there's a right and it's being infringed upon, then you have a right to your day in court. So I'm just saying that's just, yeah. So yeah, by the way, you can say that rights are only there if they're followed. I would say this, rights are only there if we call for them to be enforced. So how you like me now? Anyway, there you go. Appreciate you, Jeff. All right, text it in or call it in. The text line is indeed open. The number 833-687-4448. We will be right back, jumping on into Dipper number one, building the workforce. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show, it goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. We got text lines indeed open, 833-687-4448. Text it or call it, same number for both. Show is live streaming right now, not only on the radio stations where you might be listening on a regular basis, but you can also live stream the show online to include live stream video right now in the studio on YouTube, our website, rightsideradio.org, and oh, by the way, on Rumble and Twitch and Twitter. We're like all over the place. Cool. All right, Alabama's workforce. So, just so you know, there's several metrics, and I've said this on the show before, so I'm probably talking to people who already get it, but I'm going to kind of prelude my comments by reminding you a couple things. So Alabama's workforce, everybody's workforce, is measured in certain metrics. One of them is the unemployment rate, and the other is the labor force participation rate. among other things. And then they even go into, like, way down in the weeds, like the prime age of workers. And the prime age is considered like 25 to 54. So the unemployment rate in Alabama is like really good. It's like if you want a job, then the people who are looking for a job have pretty much all found jobs, with very few exceptions. Right now, if I'm not mistaken, Alabama's unemployment rate is sitting at 3%. That's good, right? Except that the true measure of how we're doing is what's known as the labor force participation rate. That's how many people are actually still in the labor force. Out of all the potential workers that we have, how many are actually still in the process of being a member of the labor force? Meaning, there's a bunch of people in Alabama who apparently just quit looking for a job, and they dropped out altogether. So they don't count against the unemployment rate because they're not drawing unemployment. They just quit trying to find a job, and they just hunkered down somewhere. Or they retired, because I tell you what, during COVID, we saw mass retirements. People who were out there thinking they were going to retire in 5 years looked around and said, mass vaccinations and craziness in the workplace and everything's got DEI attached to it. You know what? I'm out of here. I'm dropping my papers. And they did. We had mass retirements. So that being said, Alabama's labor force participation is not really good. Not really at all. Our labor force participation rate is sitting at 57.4%. 57.4% is not good. You don't want that number to be high. So I will say this, we've had some good metrics. In the middle of who's working, our prime age workers from 25 to 54 has been trending upwards, meaning that those who are in the pool, we're drawing in what is considered prime age. They're not near retirement. They're also not, you know, just doing part-time work in the summers. They're gainfully employed, and they're in the prime of their employment lifestyle or lifetime. Okay, having said all that, Alabama does fall behind the national averages. We're great on unemployment rate, but we kind of stink when it comes to labor force participation. And we've got to get it up. We've got to get it to a better place. So, like, wage and salary employment increased. That's good. That's wonderful. 40,000 people, according to the Alabama Department of Labor, have entered the workforce since last year. That's good. But we can do better. By the way, you might be curious. Counties with the lowest unemployment, Shelby County, 2.3%. Morgan, Marshall, and Cullman County all tied at 2.5%. Madison, Limestone, Elmore, and Autauga tied at 2.6%. That's good. If the state unemployment is 3%, but you're sitting there at 2.3%, you're doing pretty darn good. However, the major cities with the lowest unemployment rates, some of them even beat those scores. Vestavia Hills is at 2%. Alabaster, Homewood, Madison, 2.1%. And Hoover and Trustful, 2.2%. Okay, so that being said, what can we do? How do we make it better? What can we do to create the environment that draws people in and makes them want to join the workforce, or that keeps them from retiring earlier than they should? Something. How can we incentivize the ability of Alabamians to work? Because when they work, the state benefits. When they work, the state can then draw in more businesses. People out there who have businesses that are looking for their new locations, one of the things they want to see is an active and highly engaged labor force. And on top of that, that workforce, they want to know that it's not just there, but that it's capable. So what measures do we have? What means do we have for making it better for the workforce? All right, so this past year, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, he chaired the Alabama Workforce Commission. And they went through all the studies, and they heard testimony from other states, and they did all the things, and they got the consultants, and they did the stuff, and they came up with a 7-bill package. So that 7-bill package, they held off on. By the way, this is a little cagey. I tried to figure out what they were doing. I kept thinking, where's the package? I thought it was coming. And they held off, and they held off. And then midway through the legislative session, which is almost over now, they just, boom, dropped all 7 bills at one time. I really think that what they were doing was they knew that gambling was going to take up a lot of time and energy at the beginning of the session, and they were waiting till that and a couple of other bills like school choice were out of the way, and then they dropped them in. Well, they dropped them in, and they've almost got them done. So, story here on Alabama Daily News. Members of the Alabama House voted, this story is datelined 2 days ago, voted this past Tuesday to approve a bill designed to deter employees from voluntarily recognizing a union. So here's one of the bills that we're looking at now that is considered part of the workforce package. It's not part of the original seven, but it's a good one. This particular bill is looking at the efforts of the United Auto Workers to swoop in and basically take Alabama's right-to-work state status and co-opt it and change it and take us from being a state that is known as an industry giant and a place where you might want to set up your big box manufacturers and all your tier twos and threes and just, you know, basically crush it. So they had a bill that got carried in. State Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur had Senate Bill 231. It would make employers ineligible for state economic incentives if they voluntarily recognize a union without a vote of the workers. What are we talking about? If they're going to unionize a plant, they have to have, and I've forgotten what the percentage is, but they have to have a majority percentage of the employees saying they want to go to a vote. Once they get to that level of having signatures for petitioned for the National Labor Relations Board to come in and help them with a vote, what we don't want to see is companies just rolling over. Hey, you guys, you know what? We're with you. Start that union. You don't have to vote with us. We'll just say, let's do it. If they do that, this bill takes away their incentives that they might have received as a business. Oh, you mean you had 4 years of property tax rebates, or for that matter, you might have had some economic incentives that related to free training for your employees with the Alabama Technology Network, or who knows? And then you said, you know what? We're not going to require. We're going to jump in bed with the union. Call it done. Just forget the vote, fellas. We'll just call us a unionized plant. Let's get her done. Nope. Can't do it. Doesn't matter whether you have a collective bargaining agreement with a sister plant outside the state. In Alabama, these employees here deserve the right to vote on it, and we're not going to let you have state incentives, Mr. Manufacturer, Mr. Company, if you're going to just bypass that whole voting of the people thing. So good on them. I appreciate it. The bill, by the way, comes amid the United Auto Workers Union campaign to organize automakers in the southern right-to-work states, who just recently, by the way, did have a decisive win at the Volkswagen plant in Tennessee. And it was some of the usual debate. They went back and forth in the House debating the bill. Representative Napoleon Bracey, who's a Democrat down in Saraland, he was on the floor of the House going, we have to realize that something happened for unions to have to come into play in the first place because of the bad actors. It's because of the people don't want to be good corporate citizens, because of people looking at greed over making sure their employers have enough to take care of their families. So once again, it's the big evil corporations that surely are the problem. Surely, that's all it is. It has nothing to do with the union driving wages and packages and collective bargaining agreements to the point that the factory can't sustain. By the way, Big Rig and I are sitting right now in Gadsden, the former home of the largest Goodyear plant in the world, gone, and Gulf State Steel, gone, both of whom at their prime employed something like 5,000 people in this area or more. It was crazy how big they were. Unions drove them into the ground. Let's don't go there. When we get back from this break, I've got this seven-bill package that I'll talk to you about. One of those bills, though, is still dangling, and it's the one that a lot of folks are saying, man, that's got to happen. That's a good one. Child care tax credits. You know me. I'm for tax cuts whenever we can find them. All right, we'll take a break right now, though, and I'll come back in a minute. And then coming up top of the hour, we'll be with Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth getting his perspective on where we're headed and why this is important. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a caller on the line. I'll grab that right now. Is that Alan? Alan from Hartsel. How you doing, buddy?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yes, you are. What's on your mind, man?
unions.
Yeah.
Now, here's a list of the ones I know for sure. Brown, Brown, Yella, Smith, Jones, PIE, East Texas Motor. They were all big-time union people, and they priced themselves out of business.
Yeah.
The steel mills. You need to go to, these people around here need to go to, not just Birmingham, go to Warren, Niles, Youngstown, Pittsburgh. Look at all those steel mills that are down. Now, the unions kept hollering, they can't do that, but they did. The company just said, to heck with it. And shut it all down.
Yeah. Here in Gadsden, the Gulf State Steel Plant, one of the last famous words at the union hall was, hang in there, boys. They won't shut us down. Where are we now?
And I remember hauling in and out of a good friend of mine was working from a man in Gadsden that was hauling the coating oil for the Goodyear plant.
Yeah.
He went out of business, too.
Yeah.
He lost all that.
Yeah.
So it's not just the unions at a certain plant. It has a ramification for a lot of other businesses.
Yeah, it does.
That are tied to it. So instead of maybe 5,000 at Goodyear, it may affect another 2,000 to 500, 5,000 again that supply equipment for that place. You know, that just Hyundai down in Good Hope. I remember it real well. When they first went into business back in the 90s, I was hauling steel I-beams and stuff out of Kentucky and Tennessee. They were building a training center down there. Them old boys were tickled to death to get a $12 an hour job, but they had to go through 2 months of training before they'd even put them in the plant. Well, they got minimum wage while they were going through training. Them old boys was working in the cotton fields and the lumber yards. They were tickled. But now unions say we got a better idea. I don't think so. But anyway, Phil, that was my part of the throwing in there.
That's good stuff, Alan. You always nail it, man. I appreciate you. Have a great day, all right?
You too, bud. Have a good day and a weekend.
All right, we'll see you. It's a big deal, y'all. Don't underestimate what is happening with the union votes. By the way, I didn't say it earlier, but I'll just say now that article I had about the unionization of plants and the bill they passed, the Mercedes plant employees are voting on unionization in about a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then workers at Hyundai Motors in Montgomery, the big plant there, they've already got 30% support for joining the UAW. And I'll tell you, too, this is kind of chasing a rabbit. I hadn't planned on talking about all this just by itself. But the reason why you're seeing this right now is because they feel completely empowered by the current administration. The unions are feeling like they've got their grand poobah sitting in the White House and they can do whatever they want. Well, apparently so. I mean, that's what Biden does, right? He kowtows to the unions. He placates them. He's constantly, you know, pandering things they need, even to the point of like the Green New Deal bills that are passing are requiring that, you know, it'll be an electric car, but it must be built in a union plant. What the heck? You put that in the legislation? That is jackassery. Thank you. I wonder what you're doing. We got the new computer screens set up here, or the new angles, and I saw him reaching for something. I thought, what's he doing over there? Anyway, jackassery button. All right. Hey, listen, before Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth comes on, let me tell you about a couple things in that package that I'm sure he'll be talking about. So the Workforce 7 bill package dropped in. Apparently all God's children were in favor of it. Things were moving. But certain pieces of it, though, did become debatable. They did become a little less enamored of certain parts. But right now, you do have several things that have already passed. For instance, you've got one of them's called the Alabama Workforce Transformation Act. They're going to take the Alabama Department of Labor and the Department of Work and convert it to the Department of Workforce, expand some of the responsibilities, give it a secretary-level position appointed by the governor. That could be significant. Then there's the Alabama Growth Alliance Act. It's going to create a new public corporation composed of appointed members of both private. That's a little bit of growing government. I'm less enamored of that one. setting up a new commission to look at state economic development. But we'll see where this goes. In the meantime, they've also got other pieces in there, one of which was is a child care tax credit bill. Now, this one is significant, and I don't believe that one's passed yet. It's one of the last ones still had dangling out there. But this particular bill, House Bill 358, it made national news. I got a piece here from Newsweek talking about it. Alabama bill proposing to offer tax credits and grants to employers and child care providers to create more affordable child care options that would help thousands of families. So anyway, that goes on to talk about the bill. But it says that here's the deal. They're going to offer up to a tax credit of up to $600,000 for providing or expanding on-site child care facilities. So if you have, let's say, for instance, the Toyota Mazda up in the Huntsville area. If Toyota Mazda decides, you know what, we could get more workers if we had a child care center right here on site. It's going to cost us something. Hey, don't worry. We get a massive tax break for it. So what do? They set up a child care center on site. They staff it. Next thing you know, employees are able to drop their kids off for either a discount or, for that matter, who knows, maybe it's a package deal where they get something for free. All I know is this: affordable child care has suddenly become something that wasn't there before. There's one study that's cited in this article from Newsweek that says that every time there's been a 10% increase in price of child care, it was associated with a 1% drop in female employment. So what they're saying is there's a direct correlation. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I'm not sure why it hadn't passed yet. And there's another one in the bill, too, that I really like. Where is that one? Hang on a second. Let me find this in my stack. I got a stack of stuff here in front of me. Oh, here's this one. One of the bills in this package creates what's called the Alabama Workforce Pathways Act. Now, I'm a big fan of giving people a chance to join the trades. And this bill does just that, even while they're in high school, giving them a chance to major in a tech study that puts them right into the trades when they graduate. All right, coming up next, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. Welcome to hour number two on a Friday. And listen, I'm glad to go to the phones here momentarily. We're going to be bringing on Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who is, of course, the Lieutenant Governor of our state right now and has served ably there for several years. Prior to that, he served in the Alabama House of Representatives. He's also a businessman. He and his family hail from northeast Alabama up in the Gunnersville area. And he is on the line with us right now. Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Will, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's good to have you on. Thank you for making time.
Yeah, I almost called you Senator Williams, which I guess you technically are, Senator Williams. But always great to be on the show. Appreciate everything you do on the radio and for the conservative movement.
Well, thank you very much for that. Hey, listen, I've been spending the last 20 or 30 minutes talking about workforce development and you know, measuring our labor force participation versus our unemployment rate, how it all figures. Alabama looks good in some ways, not so good in others, and you can never sit idle on what it means to develop and grow your workforce. Talk to us about your workforce commission that you've chaired over the past year or two, and then the bill package that came out that's almost through right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at, you know, things we need to change in our state, workforce development certainly at the top of the list, in my opinion. And the reason why, that comes from industry. And over again, I hear the number one limiting factor to growth with industry is people. And people literally are begging me, Will, if you can help me get more people trained, I can grow my business. And so, you know, with that, we've really dialed in on what can we do to get people trained. And so we had a bipartisan workforce development commission, and we had kind of four different recommendations that came from that. Do you want me to kind of go over those with you?
Yeah,
or how
absolutely.
Do you want to do that?
No, go ahead and run with it, because I've got the Workforce Bill 7 bill package. I know part of that, though, actually came out of your commission with four bills, I think you said.
That's right. Yeah, four of the bills came from us. And so the first one was, you know, really we felt like we needed one person to be in charge of workforce in the state, have a cabinet-level position. But, you know, as Republicans, we don't want to grow government. So what we did, we're turning the Department of Labor into the Department of Workforce Development. We're going to have a new position in that office that will now be over workforce and labor, but this person's going to understand K through 12, higher ed. You know, you think about community colleges, you know, right there in Gadsden, kind of what they do all over the state, federal WIOA funds, Office of Apprenticeship. But basically, one person that's going to do that. Then we're going to have a 40-member industry board on that that's going to help drive the conversation, help, you know, actually analyze how is education doing at training people for the workforce and all different levels. And we think that's going to be a game changer because now you're having industry buy-in instead of, you know, I mean, you know how it is. You go ask them, hey, how are you doing? Oh, we're doing great, you know, all that. Well, we want to really evaluate. And we're actually going to, for the first time in our state's history, out of that group, have a statewide workforce development plan. So we're excited about that. The next bill, so that bill's already passed. And, you know, House and Senate and, you know, at the governor's office get signed.
Right.
All right, next bill that I think is going to be wonderful and is going to be a career pathways diploma.
Yeah,
so
I love
you're a student
one.
Out there. Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's just common sense. And if you're a student out there and you decide you want to, you know, learn a trade or a skill, instead of spending more time in the classroom, in particular your junior and senior year, you take two less math and sciences, and instead of being in Algebra 2 or trig or whatever it is, right, you're going to be in actually learning a skill. And, you know, I'm in the construction business outside of being lieutenant governor, and I can tell you, you know, carpenters, electricians, plumbers, you know, guys doing concrete, like, I don't care what they made on their ACT. I don't care if they had Algebra 2 or, you know, but what I do care about is, do they know how to do that skill and do it well? And that's kind of what this diploma is going to allow people to do. So I think it's going to be a game changer.
Well, so it's interesting you say that because when I was still in the Senate, one of my bills, I chaired FRED, which is the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development. And one of my bills was a dual enrollment bill that allowed kids to dual enroll in a 2-year college for a tech degree while they were still in high school. But this is like an advanced version of that. This is like a step further. This is giving them a chance to even sort of almost like have a major, so to speak, in high school, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, so they can actually, you know, get credentials. And then part of that, too, there's even a part of it where we're going to provide $4,500 for students that want to do dual enrollment to get credentials with community colleges. And the goal is just simple. We want a kid, when they graduate high school, to be career ready, which means, hey, you can go right into a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the focus was all about college, and we got it wrong. And, you know, when you got half your state that's not going to a 2 or 4 year college, why in the world is all the education geared towards getting everybody ready for college?
No, that's a great point. Plus, the trades are hurting right now. We need people qualified for the trades, and they come in with that journeyman
status. And I mean,
status.
The amount of money they make.
Oh, my gosh.
Too, right?
Like, why'd I go to law school? I know.
I mean, it's impressive. So, all right, third bill, you brought up the child care tax credit.
Yeah.
I know y'all been talking about that. You know, we think that's got a good shot at, you know, passing. And, you know, it's been passed in the House. It's in the Senate. That's going to travel with the education budget as well as the housing tax credit bill. But both of those, you know, we think are going to do things, which is get people off the sidelines into the workforce. And we realize that, you know, certainly, you know, from a child care standpoint, I mean, every time I talk about this, you know, people are clapping and, you know, think this is a great idea. But I mean, child care is really expensive.
Yeah,
you know, if you've got 2 or 3 kids, it's tough. And, you know, what we're doing, we're going to give the business a tax credit where they can pay for it for their employees. And then that's one less expense the families have to have. But what we're hoping happens is this gets people back to working. Where they're, you know, having to maybe not, they can't just afford to do it because this is after tax money you're having to pay for child care. And so we're really, I think that's, I feel very good. That's going to pass. And then the housing tax credit's a Reagan era program, and we're just trying to expand that. And the idea in that program is where you go in and instead of have a government housing where you don't have to have a job, and this program for the house is for multifamily properties, so, you know, apartment complexes.
Right.
But if you, so the developer gets the tax credit or sells them all. And then in exchange for that, they have to do reduced rent rate. But to qualify, you have to have a job. And so, and you got to be within a certain salary matrix. So the idea is that, you know, President Reagan said, hey, I mean, you know, let's get people off of government housing and actually get them, you know, working for themselves. And we realize that you always hear about the benefits cliff, right? Like if you get off government dependence, it's the benefits cliff because they're used to getting all these benefits. Well, housing and child care are two of the biggest ones. And so if we can help people with both of those, we think we can get a lot of people back in the workforce. And then eventually, you know, these people will own their own home and be productive members of society and, you know, off of government dependence, which is a win.
Well, it's very cool. And I love it when you switch people off of the government, you know, dime onto a private sector issue, but you incentivize the private sector to do it. That's the partnership right there. And I saw, by the way, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but the child care tax credit bill made national news. Newsweek ran a story on it yesterday. And it had a quote in there that I thought was significant. It said that studies have indicated that every time you see a 10% increase in the cost of childcare, it's associated with a 1% drop in the employment of women. So, I mean, you're looking at women dropping out of the, I mean, with, as these, everything's more expensive these days, Bidenomics being what it is, everything, even childcare is more expensive. But you're like, you're right. It drives people away from the ability to be productive because their first priority is still their family, and it should be.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So, I mean, I think when you look at that, you know, child care is, you know, a child care tax credit's pro family. It's going to help families that want to do that. Like, for instance, in my own life, you know, we had twins, and then 20 months later, we had a daughter. So my wife had to quit teaching pre-K because, I mean, we had three kids that were under two. Just the cost for childcare versus what she made as a pre-K teacher, I mean, we've been losing money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think with that, it'd been nice to, you know, for them to go to the same pre-K place she went. But anyway, so that's what we chose to do for our family. But a lot of people, you know, they require two incomes just to get by and to pay their bills. And, you know, that's just the reality because of, you know, Biden's economy is so expensive to live now. Because of inflation. And so anything we can do to help people, I'm all for. And certainly for all, anything we can do to help, you know, pro-family policies like this, I think is a win.
Well, and I guess, you know, closing comments here, but I guess, too, you have to look at it is a lot of folks don't realize the state of Alabama competes with 49 other states for jobs. There's a finite number of employers out there. They don't all spring up from within. Sometimes they move here from outside, and you want them to want to come here and bring their jobs. And by doing that, you've got to also have a workforce that they can take part with or partner with when they get here.
And that's a great point. And I mean, you're spot on there, right? I mean, we're competing for companies locating here. And to have policies like this, it's going to be favorable for them to locate here. Companies that are expanding, I mean, they're real excited about this because now they can, you know, potentially recruit people from outside the state to move here. Or get people off the sidelines. And to your point, I think there's like 34 states that have already done something like this. So we should have done this years ago.
Well, hey, final question before you go. We got about a minute left. The unionization effort by the United Auto Workers, they've got a vote coming up at the Mercedes plant. They're attempting to get a vote at the Hyundai plant. And they just co-opted the employees of the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga. Your thoughts on where they're headed on unionization right now?
Yeah, I can tell you, I mean, growing up in Corporation Progress Rail, that, you know, unions equal higher costs, right? And usually not better benefits, you know, for the union members. And so, you know, I think unions are a mistake. I think part of what makes Alabama great is being a right-to-work state. And the fact that, you know, all these automobile companies located here because we don't have unions, which are just going to drive up cost. And, you know, so, you know, my message to, you know, everybody working at those auto plants is, you know, make sure you keep, you know, help Alabama stay great from a competitive standpoint. And these companies are going to take care of you. They already have, you know, unions are just, you know, out to destroy companies, raise costs. And, you know, if you look at the history, you know, it's not a sustainable model. I mean, and so, you know, I hope we're able to beat that in Alabama because, I mean, I've seen it firsthand, you know, with Progress Rail and the railroad industry. You know, states where, you know, there weren't unions, you know, the businesses were profitable. And what happened is, you know, other states you weren't as profitable. What happened is, you know, companies leave, yeah. Right? I mean, so that's the real threat. You can say, oh, we want a union. Well, when the company leaves here and goes to another state, you know, don't complaining to us if you don't have a job. I mean, that's literally, you know, what's happened. It's part of the reason we've been so successful in the automotive industry. So, I hope that they push back on that and that Alabama workers are smarter than that.
Well, I hope so, too. We've survived several attempts in the past to unionize other plants in the state. But in the meantime, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, we appreciate your time today, and keep us posted. If you see any hitches passing those last two bills of the package, you let us know, all right?
Hey, absolutely. Always great to be on. Thanks for what you do.
All right, thank you. Take care. All right, we're going to take a break right now. I ran long on purpose because I wanted to get as much out of that time as I could. But Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth laying it on there about, the efforts to make Alabama a workforce state. It's what brings the jobs. It's not the unions that bring the jobs. It's the state incentives and the environment that we create and the business climate that's here. That's what brings the jobs. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. Appreciate the Lieutenant Governor making time for us today. Keep your eyes on the prize here with what's going on with that workforce development package. I got several text messages I'll catch up on, because if I don't now, I'll get out of control. Jeremy from Huntsville, dating back to a little earlier, he says, Jim Carrey is evil. And then he says, no photograph bakery and no Photoshop. So he sent me a picture of Jim Carrey. Yep, Jim Carrey has the ability to screw his face into a contortion that makes you think something ain't right on the inside.
It kind of looks like an AI image, though.
Well, that's what he says it's not, though. He says it's real.
I don't know.
We have to take his word for it. Anyway, Shane from Huntsville says, hey, on yesterday's show, you spoke with Scott Buttram. You said Republicans were negotiating with Democrats on things that are not conservative. We need names so we can call those representatives and tell them to stop. So I don't have it in front of me right now. But like, for instance, on the bill, I tell you what, I do have that one. Where'd that go? The workforce bill, the one that that was designed to say, hey, if you decide just to unionize without giving the workforce the ability to actually vote on it, and oh, by the way, it has to be by secret ballot. If you just blow that off, employer, we're going to take back your incentives. Well, there were three Republicans that voted for the union on that one. That would be Representatives Brian Brenyerk, a Republican out of Fayette, Tim Wadsworth from Arley, and Matt Woods from Jasper. They all voted against that bill. They were the only Republicans who voted against that bill. So there's, by the way, you can go on. There's a website. This brings up a great point. Shane from Huntsville. There's a website called Allison, A-L-I-S, it's one L, A-L-I-S-O-N. It stands for Alabama Legislative Systems Online. But Allison is a place where you can go and see all the current legislation, track the votes, get a feel for what's in the hopper and still hasn't been passed. Anyway, all that. There you go. Allison, it's worth a look if you want to. Keith from Parts Unknown says, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the Shoals had union jobs at plants, Reynolds Metal and Ford. Where are those plants now? Argentina and Mexico. Mm. Thomas from Athens says, so is card check an option for union voting, or can it be a hidden ballot only? It needs to be a hidden ballot, to be honest with you. I mean, this article I've got over here says doing card check is not a private vote. Doing a card check is intimidation. Card check is where you have to walk up and hand your card checked off to the union guy who looks you in the eye and goes, why'd you vote that way? It shouldn't have to be like that. It says, trust the Labor Relations Board to count the ballots responsibly. Huh. Fulton County, Georgia has admitted to counting fraud in 2020 presidential elections. Proof, he says, today in Good News Friday. All right. Appreciate it, Thomas. Thank you. Devin from Brownsboro. He says, hey, Phil, talking about the workforce, I've noticed over the last couple of years the quality of worker has dropped significantly. I feel like a lot of employees get hired today, have no motivation or desire to work, and I feel it's a contributing factor, unemployment and workforce issues. What's your philosophy, he says. So I do not disagree that we are in a time when some of the values that built this country don't seem to be as strong. But there's still a good workforce out there, and you give them the incentives to go to work, and they will. Grandma Wanda says, child care bill is not the best solution. Okay. Thank you, Grandma Wanda. Mike from Coxie says, if we can keep the unions out of Alabama, more companies will come here, which in turn will create a more competitive market to attract better workers, which will drive up salaries across the board, incentivize companies to offer a better environment. Everybody wins. Thank you, Mike. I didn't even get to all of them, but I'll try. Coming up next, though, Malia Stevens talking about what's going on to protect kids. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.